Well, we want to welcome you to lesson number 12 of Going On to Perfection. And today's lesson, as we stay on our theme of Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we've mentioned to you in the preceding lessons how righteousness, which means right doing, peace, which means contentment, calmness, fulfillment, and then joy in the Holy Ghost, that we will find that most of the scriptures, this is what they point to as they teach us the Word of God. If we could just choose one scripture to represent what the kingdom is, this is my choice. And that is, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, because you're going to find out that these are the three kingdom principles. And we've entitled this teaching, Going On to Perfection, so that we can grow in wisdom and grow in knowledge of His Word, which in turn should allow us to grow in faith, which in turn should allow us to grow in greater actions and deeds. But we recognize the fact that we are not going to go to heaven to play a harp on clouds throughout eternity, that we are called to be God's representatives and to reign and rule with Him in the earth, as we've pointed out. And so what we want to look at today, the kingdom of God's not meat, drink, but right doing, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We first notice that all these things are not in our spirit. These come from His Spirit. And today we're going to major on joy. Now, how many know what the word joy means in Hebrew? Anybody know what the word joy means in Hebrew? Who knows what it means in Greek? Well, the word joy in Hebrew and the word joy in Greek means joy. So you can look it up in your concordance, joy. And the definition is joy. So joy is gladness. Joy is just, it's an exuberant feeling. I want us to notice this morning that what we are learning as we go on to perfection, and it's a hard lesson to learn. First, if you've never been born again, it's about impossible to learn. But our responsibility, in other words, the way we respond to situations and stimuli, has absolutely nothing to do about our circumstances. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And so as you study the people that God chose to put in His Word and the stories that He chose to record about His disciples, apostles, prophets, children of the promised land, then what we find out is that it is a manual on how to respond not through the human spirit, but through faith and with the presence of God, through the kingdom principles. So when we see in the book of Luke, the word joy is used in one form or another and over 200 times in the Bible. It's a main theme. And then that's not even to get into the other words that associate with joy, but just the word itself, joy, used over 200 times. But in the New Testament, we see where even whenever the Messiah was coming to earth, that the angel introduces Him and says, "Fear not, behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And so I'm wanting us to understand that whenever we check ourselves, you know, you can be held in another country. If you don't have on a uniform and you are there as a soldier, you can be considered a spy, and that is punishable by death. You don't want to get caught without your uniform. In the kingdom of God, God's people have a uniform. And one of the things that I taught a long time ago is that whenever we see the word Holy Spirit, that we see that it's a garment that we put on. And so this is the uniform that we are identified by in the kingdom. But this uniform, just like the garment of the high priest, had certain attributes that you could identify it for. Peace and joy and right doing are the uniform of God's army. And so we see where this good tidings of great joy, this joy is accessed by His Spirit. So I'm saying this because as His representatives, we recognize the fact, and I don't mean to make light the hardships and the sorrows that we go through in life, because we're all going to experience those. But as we grow in faith, we understand that sorrow cometh for a season, but joy cometh in the morning, tears for a season. And what we find out is that regardless of our circumstances, that God's joy is always available, even in a prison. As a matter of fact, the word joy is used more times in the epistles, in the epistle of Philippians, than any other epistle that the word joy is used. And it's written while he's in prison, and he writes of joy. So we see that joy is not predicated on our circumstances in the Holy Ghost, that we access this by His Spirit. So the announcement of the Messiah coming was to give us great joy in the earth. We see that in Acts chapter 13, whenever the disciples, the apostles, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, because the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That when they're filled with joy and the Holy Ghost, joy and Holy Spirit come together. And I know there are times that we have a sorrowful spirit, and there are times that we have a grieving spirit, but you will notice that where the presence of God is, there is joy. So if we are not filled with joy, if we don't have joy in our hearts, if it's escaped us and eluded us, then we're not operating in the kingdom principle. It's time for us again to revisit the cross, revisit the resurrection. Thank God He didn't just die, but He was resurrected. That's why we're here today. And in that resurrection, He made available to us the peace, the joy, and the right doing in the Holy Ghost. So He says they were filled with joy in the Holy Ghost. And you're going to see where this joy principle, I'll wear the word out before we finish this lesson, but it's to permanently write in the tablets of our mind and our heart the understanding that any time we lose our joy, we are not operating in the kingdom.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Do I need to say that again?
Yeah.
And I can't wait to preach this morning. I feel like I really have a word for the church.
Amen.
But any time we are not operating in joy, you have left kingdom principle.
There you go.
Period.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're not a Christian. I'm not talking, and you know me, I'm not saying who's saved and who's not saved, but I'm here to teach you the word. You're not you don't have the uniform on. Okay? And Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." So the Holy Spirit, the reason it's called holy, anytime it's holy, when Moses stood on holy ground, was there a piece of land that I could walk to in Midian that's holy? No. Anytime it's holy, it means Kadesh, set apart, and it means the presence of God is there. And the reason it's the Holy Spirit is it's the presence of the Lord. And anywhere the presence of the Lord is, even in the Old Testament, before the Holy Spirit was poured out to all flesh, there's fullness of joy. John chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus is speaking, and He says, "And these things I've taught you, I've spoken to you, that my joy..." Whose joy is it again? Okay, so I'm just trying to get through to us warriors, to us people that are learning how to operate in the kingdom. Because we are in an invisible kingdom that cannot be seen with the eye, that cannot be heard with the ear, but by our spirit, then what we have to understand is when we're not operating in peace, fulfillment, contentment, when we're not doing righteousness, which just means right doing, and whenever we aren't operating in joy, and it doesn't mean you have to be giggling, and, "Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah," and all that. That's hype. But when you're not operating in these things, and that can be joy also. I'm not shooting at that. But you don't have to maintain that Christian hyperbole of all that stuff, because that's not real. And people get stuck in that, and then they think that somehow is Christianity. Okay? So what we see is that this joy that God puts in us, it's very real. And when we don't have it, it's not because there's something wrong with us. It's because we're not plugged into Him. And just like we refuel our automobiles, and just like we have to pay the power company to keep the utilities on, there is a price that has to be paid to reconnect to Christ. So to know Him and to really have fellowship with Him, to know Him with all of our mind, our heart, and our soul, when we plug back into Him, it's His joy. And so I'm going to make this statement, because this is supposedly a mature class. We are without excuse. If you are a cross-crucified, born-again Christian in the army of God, you have no excuse to have a sucky attitude. You have no excuse to run around and look like a mule-eating bride. You have, and I'm not trying to be crude and rude, because everything I'm saying you shouldn't be, I am at times, but I preach way above where I live. But you should never be a downer.
Hallelujah.
You know, and I'm not saying you don't weep because your heart's broken or your kids have done wrong and you don't get upset. But in all of those human responses, we still understand that I'm getting my humanity out of the way, but I'm about to step back into the uniform to operate in joy. This is made available us available to us. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding, regardless of our circumstances. And that's what the story of the Bible is about. It's about people that are unbelievable in unbelievable circumstances that learn how to operate and trust in God. Okay. So in Luke chapter 6, so we see it's His joy. We see it was announced He was going to bring His joy. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company. We're not called to be popular. We're not called. Let me just tell you something. If you're really walking close to the King and you're really operating in the kingdom and you're really living according to His principles, you're not going to be popular. Period. And they shall reproach you and cast you out. Your name is evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Now, all I'm doing here for greatest reward in heaven, all He's doing is He's reminding us what I as an under-shepherd am reminding us of this morning, that even in harsh situations, rejoice.
Amen.
Even in harsh situations, rejoice. So what this does, what a mature Christian does is someone that's gone on to perfection, which just simply means maturity. You'll notice that a mature Christian, you don't ever know when they're going through hard times or good times because they're pretty much like this. Now, an infantile Christian, and that has nothing to do with how long they have claimed to be a Christian, their life goes like this. And they're like a window shade. It's real easy to know when they're up. It's real easy to know when they're down. A mature Christian may be sitting there, have bills they can't pay, and I know as a mature Christian, they shouldn't be in that predicament. I'm just throwing out some things. They may have trouble in their marriage. They may have. Just because you're mature doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. They may have a lot of things going on in their life, but they have learned to keep the joy. They've learned to keep the peace. They've learned to keep the hope. They've learned to keep the faith. They've learned to endure.
Amen.
At hardship as a soldier. Okay, so I'm not here to teach you that when you walk powerfully in the Holy Spirit and you have a prayer life and a fasting life and a reading your Bible life, that will insulate and isolate you from the problems of life, make your spouse perfect, your boss love you, your kids be wonderful. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite. Because you will become an enemy of the kingdom of darkness who rules this world. And you'll find out the more you decide to be spiritual, even your own friends that have made a decision not to go on. I was having a conversation with someone yesterday. It's interesting, we live in the hour when people want a minstrel because music appeals to all humanity. But very few people want to go on into worship. Because worship is created from the hunger of a soul. That's another lesson. Let me go on. All right. So His joy is the uniform of the kingdom workers. And we are to be identified by this. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, how many have their uniform on? And boy, I'll tell you, there's days I realize, some days I don't even want to put it on, you know. And I realize, no, I'm supposed to do this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found it, he hides, and for joy. Now, this is the joy of a man. And I will tell you that until you recognize the value of what we have been given, if you really boil this down to the very fundamental elements of there is an eternity that a soul is going to live for, and there are two realms in which they can live. One is either the kingdom of light, where all of the attributes of God shall dwell, and the other is the kingdom of darkness, where none of the attributes of God shall dwell, like hope, love, mercy. Then you recognize that to have an opportunity to enter into the kingdom of light, and you realize to have eternal life and to reign and rule, what awesomeness this is. You can get out of your class system or go beyond your what your family's ever accomplished. That when you realize the truth of that, you will gladly trade everything you have. Like Paul said, I count everything I had as dung for joy. So human joy is what catapults us into moving and growing in God. We must believe that He is a rewarder of they that diligently seek Him, and we must understand the great price and the great benefits that are from this kingdom. And once again, that's tied to joy. In Luke chapter 24, verse 51 and 53, and it came to pass while He blessed them, He was parted from them. He was carried into the heavens, and they worshipped Him. Speaking about after Christ was resurrected, He was seen for 40 days. Then He goes to the Mount of Olives, and there He is taken into the heavens where He'll return again. And they returned to Jerusalem. And how did they return? Great joy. So I'm not, this lesson was very simple to put together. I just pulled up the word joy in my concordance. And you should do the same. But you're going to be astonished at how it covers every aspect of our walk. and how it always, it's not by accident that when God speaks of His people, that this garment of joy is always always there. We could go to the Psalms and not just use the word joy, but all the words associated with joy, and we'd be here for several lessons. So once again, it is, since we live in an invisible kingdom, and since we live around great Christians that don't criticize us and get in our face and tell us, hey, you really suck right now, you got no joy at all, you know, then we can recognize, we can check our own spirit and say, do I have joy today? Now, I didn't say, do you not have any problems? But that has nothing to do with, do you have on the garment of joy? Yeah. And the way we put on that garment of joy, and I'll get into that in our today's lesson, but the way we get on to that garment of joy is to take that time to be alone with God and to invite Him back into our heart and to feed the spiritual man. Because when we become Christians, born again, we are a dual-natured creature, just like Christ was holy God and He was totally man. And we decide each day, and He being the example that only walked in the Spirit, and we decide each day which we'll feed. All right. So joy is a requirement. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. They were filled with joy. And so the source of their joy, they knew, came from the Word, from worship, from right doing. And of course, the outpouring of that was they were praising and blessing God audibly, visually. John chapter 3, verse 28 and 29, Yeshua is speaking. He says, you yourself bear me witness that I said I am... No, John the Baptist is speaking. He says, I'm not the Christ, but I'm sent before Him. So now this is before the outpouring of the Spirit. But John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was one of the very few people in your Bible that ever had the Holy Spirit before the outpouring of Pentecost. And they were special, the prophet, the priest, the king. Okay? And he says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. In other words, he's saying, I'm fulfilled because here I am a friend of the bridegroom. And he says, knowing my purpose, he says, I am greatly filled with joy. Even though he's going to go to prison, he's going to have his head cut off, he knows that he must decrease. Once again, just trying to share with you that the joy of the Lord is not circumstantial. And if it is circumstantial, it's predicated upon the circumstance that you know who you are in Christ, that you know where you're going and what your job is, and you know we win in the end. It's not on the day-to-day circumstances of our lives. John chapter 17, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have, once again here's Christ speaking, whose joy? His joy. So, you know, I know we're just covering the same thing here. It'll be the only lesson we teach on joy. But it'll wear you out just to walk through it to the point where you recognize God really expects me. He really expects me, even in my bad marriage. I'm sorry, honey, I confess. No, I'm kidding. I've been married almost 40 years. It's better than it's ever been, unless you're up to something I don't know about. But I'm a happy man. I'm a fulfilled man. And I'm not much of a preacher, teacher, pastor. I never claimed to be. When we came here and started a Bible study, this is what it's ended up being. God bless you. Thank you for putting up with all of our shortcomings. But let me just tell you this. If this wasn't working in my life, I wouldn't be doing this. This stuff works. And knowing where my wife and I came from and who we were, and who we could very easily be again. You know, so we're not here just trying to fill your moment of church. We're here trying to tell you, hey, if you'll really walk in what the Bible teaches, and maybe you can say it now, but I'm saying it from an honest heart, I'm a very fulfilled human being. My life is overflowing. He says, so my joy may be fulfilled in themselves. I've given them the word. So, His Word is, to me, a big sign is if someone's a mature Christian, they love His Word. If you don't love His Word, I really don't know how you're going anywhere in Christ. You may be going somewhere in modern American Christianity, this emotional thing of get wealthy and God's for us and we command the Lord and all this stuff that's not even real. But if you don't love His Word, you're not being intimate with Him. And you're going to find out that what really separates the men from the boys or the women from the real women, so to speak, is as you begin to speak to people that are Christians or non-Christians about the word, if they have no interest in the word, they really don't have any interest in Christ. They have a belief just like they believed in Santa Claus when they were a child and hoping they'll get a gift. But if you're not hungry for the word, that's the great, I'm just telling you my experience. I had a pastor tell me two things. He's gone on to be with the Lord now and was a very wise man. But he said, and I, of course, hadn't been a preacher or pastor yet when I was working in the church, but he said, Brother Joe, he said, I'm just going to tell you by observation the two things I've learned. He said, number one, if a person's money is not in the plate on Sunday, they're not with you. He was right. We have people come and go, but our income of the church doesn't change. Because if they're not givers, they're really not involved. And he says, if they don't respond to the word, he said, they'll never go on to Christian growth. And I found that's true. And there's just some things, you know, we put money in what we believe, and what excites us is what we spend time with. And if we don't, we can identify people by those things. And I'm just being very candid with you. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now here's, we're just talking again about its uncircumstantial joy. Here's Paul writing, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. In other words, they were as broke as they were joyful. I can relate. How about you? And you notice I didn't get up here and tell you I drive a Rolls Royce. And I didn't get up here and tell you about the $12 million I've got in the bank. I told you I'm a fulfilled man. Because I don't have $12 million and I don't have a Rolls Royce. But if I did, I'd be grateful as long as I had the Lord. But I wouldn't be any more fulfilled. And I wouldn't be any happier. And the truth is, if I could handle that, then God would open the door to where I'd have that. So apparently I can't handle much. Okay. So I like this where it says, in their joy and their deep poverty, they abound. So we see where, even though they were going through great trials and terrible situations and persecution, their joy just continually abounded. And they weren't joyful because they'd given their $111 offering and were expecting a 1,000 seed return or whatever new Christianity has tried to teach, which is the doctrine of Balaam, which is the doctrine of gain. From any man that preaches, gain is godliness, from such turn away. But they're the ones that are on TV. How did they stay clothed in the uniform of joy? Well, I'm glad you asked. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. They receive. And once again, you're just going to see where continually Holy Ghost and joy. We've got to take time to be filled again with the Spirit. Building up our most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. We've got to learn as Christians. We never outgrow being reconnected, recharged, replugged, refilled. The infilling of the Holy Spirit, God's grace, His love for us, is not a one-time gift. It's not something that we received whenever we accepted the Lord as our Savior and then we never go back and replug in. It is a continuing refilling of our spirit, man. Romans chapter 15. Now the God of hope fill you with what? Joy and peace. I'm going to tell you again, I chose Romans 14 and 17 because personally, if I have to pick one scripture to try to tell someone about what the kingdom of God is, it's right doing, it's peace. And it's joy. And boy, that says it all if you're walking in that. Okay. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So it always ties these things together. Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, joy. How? Not in your spirit. It's in the Spirit of God. And that's where we get, you know, we get into lesson 120 or whatever. We'll get into the gifts of the Spirit. And they're not your gifts. They operate as He will. None of us, let's just tell, we blessed are the poor in spirit. What's that mean? We recognize without His Spirit, we are spiritually bankrupt. That we've got to have His Spirit operating in our life because we can do nothing without Him. And so even when we get into the gifts of the Spirit, it's just like His joy there by His Spirit as He decides to do as we make ourselves available. We aren't healers. Now, how many believe that Paul and Peter that laid hands on people in their shadow and they sent handkerchiefs in their bodies, how many believe they were used in healing?
All of us do, because the Bible tells us that. But not everybody they came in contact with did God even tell them to pray for and be healed. And not everyone they prayed for got healed.
Right.
They had to leave their own workers behind sick. But yet today in America, through the power of television and Chrismania, we have convinced people that there are healers. Mm-hmm. That's blasphemous.
Right.
I want to say that again, and we're recording this, and it's going to be online. That's blasphemous. There are no healers except one, and he's God. And none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. No, I don't want to finish my course. I want to finish my course with
joy.
And so you're seeing where what I'm teaching, they understood wholeheartedly. And can you imagine right now if Huffman were surrounded by a wall and we had a tower over our church and a garrison of soldiers watching us? And they were under Roman occupation. They were people being crucified. They couldn't even, if they didn't bow a knee to Caesar, get caught in a situation where they had to deny that he was Hail Caesar, you know, that these people were going through so much hardship, and yet Paul is, he understood, even in the midst of this, there's one thing I've got to do. I've got to finish it with joy.
Amen.
And so, you know, when we leave here, we're going to all just get perked back up because we realize we need more of it.
Amen.
And we realize we can positive, powerful think our way into some joy, but circumstances will strip us of just human joy. Romans 15, 30 through 32. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. I'm going through hell here. People don't want the Lord. I'm having to fight the beast. I'm going through all this stuff. But I'm wanting you to pray so that when I come to you,
yes.
I don't come saying I need an offering and things are rough. But I come with joy.
Amen. Amen.
And this is what he's saying. So I'm wanting us to all understand, and please don't. The mark of a Christian soldier is not how much pressure you're under and how tough it is. The mark of a Christian soldier is how much joy you're walking in.
Amen.
And it is remarkable having the blessing of the Lord allowing us to shepherd some of His people that a lot of times the one that we will have to meet with us continually and telling us about all the terrible things they're going through that looks like their whole life continually, they're just down, you know, And I can't because it's not. I'm not at liberty to share other people's business. But I want to tell them, well, do you know the person that sits next to you that's praising the Lord and shouting and playing the tambourine? Their son was raped in prison, got AIDS, and died. And then their daughter was killed in a car wreck. And by the way, last week their husband left her. And do you know the person that sits on the other side of you? I mean, I want to tell them, let me tell you about some people in this church that have got some real problems. That if anyone should be crying and rolling around in the molly grubs and feel like God's not for them, let me tell you about some folks in here that are going through some stuff that you have no idea. I can't do that. So I have to listen to how they were mistreated or how this or how that. And that's great as an immature Christian that we can help you move on to maturity. But if you're still sucking on the same sour lemon after so many years of living for the Lord, then you need to be in this class to hear, suck it up, swallow it, and get the joy of the Lord because you're without excuse.
Amen.
If you're going to be a kingdom ruler, if you're going to be someone that really goes on to reign and rule with Him, you're going to operate in these principles because you're without excuse. They are not predicated on circumstances. And that's what we're trying to, that I can come to you with joy.
Amen.
I've had to preach when one of my sons was on his way to jail. I had to preach when my wife and I were indebted. I had to preach whenever I had a fever. I can go on and on and on. You know what? I didn't step behind the pulpit. You never had any idea the hell I was going through. You never knew my brother was dying. You never knew my dad was in the hospital. You never knew. And I'm talking about, you know, all of us can handle one thing. But we'll have things stacked up 4 and 5 and 6 deep. And what I have learned in the Lord is how in my weakness He has made strong. And in the beginning of being a Christian, I'd pack all this stuff. I'd finally break down and say, I need a recharge. Now at the first sign of trouble, I'm just like, help now, you know. And you learn, don't wait till you're surrounded. All right.
So I want to come to you with joy. James 1 and 2. My brethren, count it all what?
Joy.
Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Oh, thank God I get to sin again.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what he means. And I know this is a very simplistic lesson. It's probably not doing anything for you, but we're just bringing to your remembrance how it did. It, in any circumstance in life, he's going to tie joy to it. Even when I fall into divers temptations, even when I'm under affliction, even when I'm in sorrow, because this is the love of God that he has given to us. Value.
Amen.
Percodan. No, he's given to us the natural drug of his spirit that comes and changes and takes all of our soulful grief, pain and suffering and sorrow. And even though it may not change that circumstance, we may, or then again, he may open the prison door immediately. But still, we've got peace in the dungeon. And we've got joy. And wasn't it Paul and Silas that at midnight cried out, we're not going to serve God any longer because he's forsaken us?
No.
Oh, they didn't say that? What'd they do? And at midnight, they begin to sing.
Sing praises to the Lord.
Yeah, sing praises to the Lord. And so you're going to see that this is just, so put it on. Suck it up. Swallow the lemons of life. Recognize they're going to keep coming. You're going to have hell on earth until you die. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. If you think you're serving God so you won't get cancer, so you won't go broke, so you want this, you're wrong. You're serving God to prove to him you love him.
Amen.
And I remember years ago, and I was in my little pity part. I don't remember how many years. The years fly by. And I said, God, don't you love me? And I don't hear from God very often except through his word. And that still is called the bat kol. The still small voice impressed my mind. And here's it says, this isn't about if I love you. I prove that.
Amen.
This is about you finding out if you love me.
Yes.
And that's what this life is about. Are you serving him conditionally? Because he unconditionally went to Calvary.
Yes.
Amen. That the trying of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found in praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so just once again, even though we may not have had a visual sighting, God has placed in our spirit as we rejoice in him, joy unspeakable. Now how do you describe that to someone? I don't know. That's why I just say, hey, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Because all I can tell you is, as you type Passover and Shavuot, Pentecost, and we're in the counting of the Omer together, there are two births. There is the baptism of water, and there is the baptism of the Spirit. Pentecost is a blood applied, and that is where we are. That is where we are. Our flesh is set free. But the spirit, where our spirit man is set free, didn't happen until Pentecost. That's why he said, beloved, I would have you not ignorant how all of our forefathers were baptized into the sea and the cloud. Or actually, he says cloud and sea. It's two baptisms. So I if I hadn't had someone to push me forward after God, I mean, when I got baptized in water and I gave my heart to the Lord and I really did repent of my sin and I really got under the blood, he delivered me from all my addictions, all my afflictions. He took my terrible cursing and lying and lusting and everything that I was really good at from me. And man, I felt so good, so awesome. And yet these radicals were around me saying, but you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm thinking, if it gets any better than this, I can fly. But I didn't know there was more. And if I hadn't been propelled to go on, I certainly wouldn't be living here today, living in freedom. He who the Son of Man is set free. Because the Holy Spirit has given me the power to live above sin and the power to be his witness. So we're not saying that you're not a child of God, you're not a son of the Lord. But we're saying if you haven't been born again of the Spirit, please begin to seek God with all your heart and say, Lord, I need this power. I want this feeling, because it is the joy of the Lord in whom we're speaking of today. All right.
Jude 1:24-25. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, but he doesn't want you just showing up in the presence of his glory. Oh gosh, I'm in heaven. You know, when you come before the king, I've shared this with you before, you didn't come before, I mean, in rare extreme cases, they'd throw themselves on the mercy of the king. The king could execute them. Because the king's not there to see crying and sorrow. The king's there to hear how great his kingdom is.
Amen. Amen.
That's where politics comes in. But in the kingdom of God, it really is great. And therefore, he's saying, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Oh, when whoever wrote that song, they had a clue, didn't they? Oh, when the saints come marching in, or when the saints come marching, I want to be in that number, you know. And there's joy knowing where we're going.
Amen.
I mean, think about that.
Amen.
Joy has always been a kingdom requirement. 1 Chronicles 15:16. I've got to get us out of here. And David spake to the chief of the Levites. We're going back to the Old Testament. And I want you to notice this. He's appointing positions in the church. And he said, we've got to have singers, and we need instruments of music. Get some psalteries, some harps. Let everything that had breath praise you, the Lord. We have churches in the world today that don't believe in musical instruments, but even the New Testament tells us making psalms and hymns in our heart. One's with instruments, one's without instruments. And he goes on and he says, by lifting up your voice. But he doesn't say just lift up your voice. How's King David tell them that these singers and these workers in the kingdom are supposed to lift up their voice?
With joy.
With joy.
Amen.
Joy unspeakable, full of glory. So once again, we see this principle is a biblical principle. Nehemiah 8:9-10. I like this. Now, they're rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem. They've been in captivity. They're coming back. They're trying to rebuild the temple. And they haven't had a preacher. They haven't been able to read the word. They find the Bible, the Tanakh, the Torah, and he brings it out and he begins to read it. And Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, because they were crying. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And he's like, no. I mean, there is a place and there's a time for that. But watch what he says. He says, then he says, go your way, eat the fat, rejoice, drink the sweet. You've heard the word and it's had the proper response in your heart. Send portions of them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord, and we quote this a lot, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, whose joy did he say it was?
The Lord.
Now, you know, if we were New Agers, we would say, for your inner man. And we'll stir up our joy. What's wrong with you? You just need some pharmaceutical help. But this is the joy of the Lord. This has been around since the beginning of time. This is why people wanted to live and be old. Because they could stay in joy. Okay? And anyway, I think that's all that I have. I hope somehow that this has shown you that no matter your circumstance, God cares about your circumstance. And yes, He's touched with the feeling of your infirmities. But He has given you a garment of praise and made available to you joy unspeakable. God bless.